Welcome back, fellow Biblical Explorer. The last time we were together, we looked at the exhortations that were given by the Apostle Paul to the people at the Church of Ephesus, exhortations to live a holier life. While looking at these last few verses of the fourth chapter, we saw that there were some characteristics to the old life without Christ, and also characteristics to the new life that was with Christ, and characteristics with the new life made possible by the riches of His grace. This new life in Christ had some characteristics of its own. We saw that the newness of life was a result of a threefold experience. Number one, putting off the old man. Number two, being renewed in your mind. And number three, putting on the new man. In the last number of verses of chapter 4, the Apostle Paul gives us some very valued instruction on how to put on the new man. In those last few verses, Paul talks about lying, anger, stealing, corrupt speech, and bitterness. And all of this was so we could be built up and build each other up in the faith, to edify one another, to build up the body of Christ, you and me. Now we look forward to chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians. Here, Paul is continuing his instruction on walking the talk. Well, first, you have to walk in love. Let's start our study today by reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. And today I'm reading from the New International Version. It says this: Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper to God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. In these verses, Paul is giving us some very valuable instruction on how to walk the talk by walking in love. Did you ever play Follow the Leader or Simon Says? That's what Paul is trying to get across to us. He's trying to tell us to do that right here in this portion of Scripture. The King James Version says, Be ye therefore followers of God. I kind of like what the Revised Standard Version says, Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Paul has told us in the past that we have been reconciled to God, and now we are a part of the family of God and heirs with Christ. Paul is now telling us on how we should conduct ourselves as children of God, children of the King, or as God's beloved. Paul is reminding us here that living as the beloved involves, one, walking worthy of our calling, chapter 4, verse 1, walking in a manner that's different from the Gentiles, chapter 4, verse 17, walking in love, walking in light, walking in wisdom, and we're going to be looking at that in this chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians. Well, Paul starts out by telling us we have to walk in love. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 7, we just finished reading that. My friends, God is love, and God will not act contrary to His own divine nature. God acts lovingly towards men. Study notes here, I have at least 12 examples of God's love from Scripture. We're just going to look at a few of them. Turn in your Bibles. If you got your Bible with you or your Bible app on your iPad or phone, look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7, 8, and then verse 13. It says this from the NIV, The Lord did not set His affection on you and chose you because you were more numerous than the other people, for you were the fewest of all peoples, But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, new wine and olive oil, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks in the land he swore to your ancestors to give to you. Job questioned that in Job chapter 7, verse 17. He says this, "What is man that you should exalt him, that you should set your heart on him?" The psalmist says in Psalm 63, verse 3, "Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you." The most famous verse in the Bible talking about God's love is found in John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." My friends, I could go on and on listing verse after verse about God's love. Needless to say, the most important question is, have you experienced God's love in your own heart? God loves you. God loves you so much that he gave his Son to die on the cross to take your place and mine so we could know forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Now, the Apostle Paul has already prayed that we might be rooted and grounded in love in chapter 3, verse 17. He prayed that we might speak the truth in love in chapter 4, verse 15. Paul also prayed that we would function within the Christian community to the end that it would be built up in love in chapter 4, verse 16. Now, Paul goes on to tell us that our lives should be a reflection and a demonstration of the love of God. This love should take the form of agape love, a love that is pure, self-giving, and that asks nothing in return, and that wishes only for the well-being of the person being loved. Agape love is God's love, and God gives it to us most fully in the gift of himself as the Holy Spirit. God gives us himself that we might live in love. Well, how are we to live and walk in love? Well, in the very first two verses of chapter 5 in Ephesians, Paul gives us the pattern for this love. Paul goes on to give us the reality and the possibility of walking and living in love. The reality and the possibility are here, both portrayed in Christ. Let's look at those first two verses. Reading from the NIV again, it says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Well, what does that mean for you and I today? When we look at these first two verses of chapter 5, we can see the pattern of love. We can look at this love in three ways. Christ loved us. Christ gave himself for us as a sacrifice. What does that mean for us today? What does that mean for you? I've heard it said that love is the intelligent willingness to do what is best for the other person. What does that mean for me? What does that mean for you? What does that mean for the way that we act and live as Christian followers of Jesus Christ in today's world? David Guzuk, in his commentary on these first two verses, says this. Here Paul concludes the thought from Ephesians chapter 4, where he described how Christians should relate to one another. The idea is very simple. We are to make God our example and model. We can't content ourselves comparing us among other men. We must heed the idea of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. "As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Guzuk goes on to say, it does not say think about God or admire God or adore God, though those things are all important Christian duties. This is a call to practical action, going beyond our inner life with God. We could say that this is a continuation of the same idea Paul mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, regarding the extent of Christian growth to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We could also say that this is a continuation of the idea from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, where we are commanded to be forgiving one another just as God in Christ also forgave you. God's behavior towards us becomes our measure for our behavior towards one another. It is very important to see that God is far more than our example. Many errors come into the church when Jesus is presented only as an example of behavior. We are not saved by the example of Jesus, but once saved, His example is meaningful to us. God is more than our example, but He is also our example. Guzuk goes on to say, as a dear children are natural imitators. They often do just what they see their parents or adults do. When we act according to our nature as children of God, then we will imitate Him. I remember playing with my little granddaughter Hannah, and when I would open my mouth, she would open her mouth. When I closed my mouth, then she would close her mouth. She was imitating her poppy and laughing hysterically while doing so. So as dear children, imitate God. And as we do imitate God, we become representatives of God, especially before those who have shut God out of their lives. Spurgeon says, "What are we sent into the world for? Is it not that we may keep men in mind of God, whom they are most anxious to forget? If we are imitators of God as dear children, they will be compelled to recollect that there is a God, for they will see His character reflected in ours." I have heard of an atheist who said he could get over every argument except the example of his godly mother. He could never answer that. So we are to walk in love as Christ also has loved us, as in all things Jesus is our example. As He has loved us and has given Himself for us, we are to display the same kind of self-giving love. Jesus' giving of Himself was obviously a sacrifice pleasing to the Father. We can also offer a pleasing sacrifice, a sweet-smelling aroma, as we give ourselves in love to others. We often think we could lay down our life in a dramatic way to show our love for others, but God often calls us to lay down our life little by little, in small coins, as it were, instead of one large payment. But it is laying down our lives nonetheless. Adam Clark, in his commentary on these verses, talks about this when he mentions an offering and a sacrifice. He says, an obligation or Eucharistic offering, the same as in Leviticus chapter 2, verse 1 and following, which is explained to be an offering made unto the Lord of fine flour with oil and frankincense. It means any offering by which gratitude was expressed for temporal blessings received from the bounty of God. He says this on a sacrifice, a sin offering, a victim for sin, the same as which is mentioned in Leviticus, which almost universally means that sacrificial act in which the blood of an animal was poured out as an atonement for sin. These terms may be justly considered as including every kind of sacrifice, offering, and obligation made to God on any account. So as dear children of God, we follow God's example in Christ and give ourselves totally over to the well-being of another person, little by little. And as we do so, we become representatives of Almighty God, showing His love here on earth. Other lives may be changed by our acts of love, as we share God's love to everyone that we meet. Love as part of the riches of His grace.